Support for WPR comes from the Wisconsin DNR, 2025 12-month state park and forest vehicle admission passes, and annual state trail passes are online at dnr.wi.gov.
Great to have you with us on WPR News. Larry Mueller here, and today on the show, we'll be talking about book recommendations. And you're going to be hearing from staff at WPR about their favorite reads. And, Jill Nadeau and I will be telling you what we liked in the past year. Jill Nadeau, our executive producer, joins me for the whole show. Jill?
Hey, Larry. It's good to be here. This is like three times in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, we've been a busy pair, that's for sure. But listen, as you hear from our staff, we want your own book recommendations. What's the best book you read this past year? Tell us why you love reading fiction or maybe nonfiction. Which book club book from the Larry Mueller Show was your favorite? And maybe tell us if there's a favorite book that you've read more than once. I've got a couple that I've read more than once I was going to mention on today's show. What makes your read so special? Give us a call. The number, 800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. That's talk@wpr.org. And Jill, maybe you can talk about why we decided to do a list of books rather than another book for our final Larry Mueller Show book club recommendation.
Well, we like to change things up a little bit, Larry. I don't know if our listeners remember, but last year we did some of our regular guests gave us a book recommendation, and that was really fun. So this year we thought, well, let's try something a little different. Most of the people here at WPR love to read.
Yes.
And we talk about books a lot, and so we thought it would just be fun to do it this year. So
we recorded them all in advance, and we have the list. And are we going to post that list?
Oh, it's already posted.
It's already posted.
Oh, yeah. Claire's totally
up on
that.
Well, I'm behind the times. that's for sure. Well, I love to read.
Yes, so do I. But I really have time for it, as you know, Larry. So I listen to most of my books.
Yeah, you listen. But I love to read, and I was thinking about how many books that I've read in the past year. And probably I should just keep track, because we do about 50 books a year on
about
the show.
That, yeah.
So I'll read all 50 of those. And then I'll read another between 30 and 50 books.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get close to 100 books a year.
Yeah,
I can read a couple books a week.
Yeah, I'm probably close to that listening too. And I know there's that debate, if you listen to a book, are you really reading a book? And I said, yes. No debate, yes.
Oh, well, we've got a caller, Helen, before we go to our own list of people who are going to be talking. Helen in West Salem has a book that I believe Helen wants to recommend. Hi, Helen.
Hi. The book is Tailspin, and it's written by John Armbruster, and he's from Westby, and the person he writes about is a true story of a fellow who fell from his plane and lived, and this is in World War II.
Yeah.
And the man was 80, in his 80s before he finally told his story, because he didn't want to talk about it.
You know what, Helen? I hope you go back and listen. We interviewed John Armbruster for that book. It is, I agree with you, it's a wonderful book. The guy fell like a mile.
Kind of crazy, yeah.
He was still in a piece of the plane that was left, you know, it split up and left, and he fell in all that way and managed to survive.
Yeah, we had a lot of people calling in and commenting about that particular book, and we've rerun that interview a couple of times. But yeah, you can listen to it. You just have to go to WPR.org/Larry. Look in the archive, and I think you can search by the name of the book. You should be able to find it. But it was a couple of years ago.
So. And Helen, I know you would enjoy that interview. Mm-hmm. If you enjoyed the book, you're going to really enjoy the interview with John Armbruster. Thank you so much. As long as we're at it, let's go to Ann in Granton. Hi, Ann.
Hello, Larry and guest. I'm so glad to talk to you.
Well, it's great to have you here. You've got a book recommendation for us?
Yes, this one was a true story, Last Letters from Attu. And Attu is the name of an island way out on the west end of the Aleutian Islands. And the lady that wrote letters back to her family was a teacher, and her husband was a amateur radio communicator about weather and all kinds of information. The letters were written back to her home state. I'm sorry, it's been a couple of months since I read it, so I don't remember where the home state is. But her great-niece assembled all the letters, fact-checked everything, and wrote fill-in history parts in between the quotes from the letters. It's a wonderful letter. They were the first people that were captured by the Japanese during World War II. All the people from the island were vacated by the Japanese, and she lived, the lady writing the letters lived, and moved back with her family in the 48 states. Anyway, it's a fascinating true story.
Anne, thank you very much for calling. And, you know, so Last Letters from
Attu.
Letters from Attu.
Yeah, A-T-T-U, for those that want to look it up.
And we've done similar kinds of books like mm-hmm. that. We did a great book on letters of a Union soldier.
Mm-hmm.
through his whole time. And he spent practically the whole Civil War. And similarly, the person who put those together had comments to sort of move the story along. So those books are a lot of fun to read, Anne, as you well know. And I can't mm-hmm. remember the title of the Confederate book.
Unfortunately, I think it might have just been. It wasn't Confederate. It was Union. But
Union.
Yeah,
I think
it might have just been letters from a soldier. But
Wisconsin soldier.
It was a Wisconsin soldier. And I think it was, what area was it?
He was.
South Wisconsin, east. Southeast Racine, maybe? Anyway, sorry about that. But yeah, it was a very good book. So why don't we go to some of our pre-records here,
why
Larry?
Not? Yeah.
Because I've always wanted to know what Kate and Rob are reading. So let's go right to the host of our sister show here, Wisconsin Today. We'll do Kate's first.
Hi, Larry. This is Kate Archer-Kent, a host over at Wisconsin Today. My colleague, Rob Ferret, and I, we have the utmost pleasure in our work to host so many amazing authors on the show. And you know from talking with authors so often that it's really hard to pick a favorite book. So I will do my level best. It is truly a pleasure to recommend the incredibly wise book called Turning to Stone, Discovering the Subtle Wisdom of Rocks. The author is the fabulous Marcia Bjornerud. She's a longtime professor of environmental studies at Lawrence University in Appleton. It's partially a memoir. It's partially this captivating geology lesson. And Marcia takes us to Lake Superior in the book. And in every chapter, rocks set the scene, and each rock formation has a connection to her life. And Marcia also weaves in this deeply personal story about being a single mom and trying to make it as a geologist in the highly competitive world of a tenured professor. And listen, I'm here to tell you that Marcia Bjornerud is a true wordsmith. The book is simply breathtaking. It's heartfelt. It's moving, moving under your feet. And you really won't want to set it down. You can hear my conversation as well with Marcia. It's at wpr.org/Wisconsin Today. So here's a personal book recommendation, and that is The Wild Robot by Peter Brown. As you know, The Wild Robot was released as a blockbuster movie this fall. And my twins and I, we read the book out loud together, and then we saw it in the theater. It's so much fun to see a child's face light up or look absolutely dismayed in the movie theater when they realize that something went off script from what they read in the pages. It was their first experience with that creative license on in a movie theater. But The Wild Robot, it's a wonderful read for all ages. It's so rich with deeper thoughts about our robotic AI age we live in and how we relate to the digital robotic world and how we care for the natural world around us and value animals that are experts at survival. And the lessons, there are really many in The Wild Robot. It's a true gem in the pages, and it's great to watch on the screen. So all the best to you, Larry, and cheers to many more great reads.
Oh, thanks. Thank you so much for that, Kate. And she mentioned Turning to Stone, which is a science-based book. And mm-hmm. one book that I've reread that I really enjoyed and is so well written is the book Entangled Life, How Fungi Make Our Worlds, Change Our Minds, and Shape Our Futures, Merlin Sheldrake. Fascinating writer, very entertaining book. You learn a lot about Merlin Sheldrake, but you learn more than you ever could possibly realize about fungi in our world. And I absolutely love this book and read it a second time.
And you got to interview Merlin.
I interviewed Merlin Sheldrake and people could go.
Yeah, a couple of years ago, too, I think 23. But he also wins the award for most British name ever.
Well, here's an example of it. He somehow added fungi to a copy of his book.
Yes.
The fungi ate up the book and turned it into whatever, and he turned that into beer and he drank his own book.
Eating your words, kind of yes.
Quirky guy he is.
Yeah, he was fun.
It was fun. Well,
yeah, and I have to say too that Wild Robot. I didn't read the book, but the movie is excellent.
I haven't watched it.
Oh, you've got to see it, Larry. It's so well done. It's animated, but it's I went with another adult and we enjoyed it completely. In fact, he had seen it twice that he liked it so well. So I would say, yes, go see that.
Well, now we've got Rob Ferret, and let's see what Rob has to say.
I'm Rob Ferret, co-host of Wisconsin Today here at WPR. I read a lot of history. One of the best books I read this year was Smoke and Ashes, Opium's Hidden Histories by Amitav Ghosh. It traces the spread of opium production and use, the opium plantations and production facilities built in India under British colonial rule, and the export of that opium, especially to China, against the will of Chinese authorities. There's also an American chapter where well-connected young American men would go to China to seek their fortunes in the opium business. A lot of old money families in the U.S. got some of their money that way. I'm recommending it because it's a huge part of the origin story of today's global struggle with opioid drugs. I'm a big science fiction fan. One of my favorite science fiction reads this year was Translation State by Anne Leckie. It's set in Leckie's universe from the trilogy that started with Ancillary Justice. I like that trilogy in the latest book because it combines classic Galactic Empire science fiction with cool, mind-bending stuff about language and culture and identity, while still keeping up a super compelling plot. Translation State includes contact with aliens who are really, really alien.
Really, really alien.
Wow.
I kind of figured, Rob, for a guy that likes
that plays
sci-fi
totally.
Kind of guy that he is. And by the way, I want to mention, we have already, I'll mention it again, we've mentioned it once, but if you're just tuning in, we have the complete list of the recommendations from our staff already up on.
Well, it technically you can't see it until 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock.
And then you can also re-listen to this, so.
I'm Larry Mueller with Jill Nadeau as we talk about the book readings that you should make and take and do in the coming year for WPR News. Great to have you with us for WPR News. Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau, and we are taking a look at the 2024 WPR staff book recommendations, including recommendations from both Jill and from me, and looking forward to hearing from you as well. Do you have a book that you'd like to recommend listeners read during the coming year. You can give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234, or you could email to talk at WPR.org. Susan from Neenah emailed us, Waltraub by Tammy Borden is a true story of growing up in a Nazi Germany. It was inspiring for surviving difficult times with an eye-opener for that side of World War II. An easy read with many touching moments. So, Waltraub, W-A-L-T-R-A-U-B, by Tammy Borden.
Okay, thank you very much. You know, and we had just heard from Rob and Kate from Wisconsin Today, and they've got lots of producers working for them to get, you know, all of those shows ready every day. Well, one of them had a little time to actually record something for us, and that's Rochelle Wilson. So let's hear from Rochelle and see what her book recommendations are.
Hi, my name's Rochelle Wilson. I'm a producer for Wisconsin Today on Wisconsin Public Radio. I am also a former comparative literature major, so reading is super important to me, and it's kind of fun to be on the other side of school and just be able to read for fun throughout the year, so it's something I try to keep up with. I would say probably the most influential read so far for me this year has been a short little novella called The Most by Jessica Anthony. This was just released earlier this summer in 2024, and it's in paperback. And it's something that you can read in one afternoon. That's what I did. And I think that was kind of the perfect way to digest this book. It's a story about a woman who was once a promising tennis champion and now is a mother and homemaker in the 1950s. And on a Sunday in early November, she skips church and hops in the community pool at her apartment complex and stays there for the entire day, refusing to get out, to the confusion of everyone around her, including her husband. And the story weaves together these interspersing chapters with the wife's perspective, the husband's perspective, then the wife again, the husband again, kind of like a literary tennis match. I loved the narrative structure. I loved the pacing. Like I said, I read it in one sitting on a summer afternoon, and I think that was a great way to do it. So I highly recommend The Most by Jessica Anthony, which in my Goodreads review I said was mid-century marital malaise at its finest. So if that's of interest to you, I recommend The Most by Jessica Anthony. Right now I'm in the middle of reading Home Cooking, A Writer in the Kitchen by Lori Colwin. She was a novelist and food writer who published in the 1970s through the 1990s. And Home Cooking is a really delightful collection of essays about her own experiences in the kitchen, from grand successes to major disasters that she's had, and her love of sharing food and inviting people into her home. I've been on a really big food media kick, so this is kind of perfect for me and coming at the perfect time. I host a film club with some of my friends, and we've been watching food cinema, so I couldn't resist when I saw this collection by Lori Colwin to just pick it up and have a read. And I really love her way of thinking about food. She has a really great quote in one of the early essays about how we can't think about food and we can't talk about food without thinking about the people and the children in our country who don't have access to food. And I think it was kind of that social justice perspective that she brought, and a really realistic perspective on what food is and what it does in our lives, that just really appeals to readers even now, you know, 30 years later after she published the collection. So, you know, these are my two recommendations, The Most by Jessica Anthony and Home Cooking by Lori Colwin. My name is Rochelle Wilson. I'm a producer here at Wisconsin Public Radio. And yeah, I hope that everyone has a happy reading, that you get some great books over the holidays, and that you get to enjoy that time.
Oh, nice. That was wonderful, Rochelle. Yes. We should just hire her to do a book review for
reviews.
Us.
Sounds like it.
She mentioned a novella, The
yes.
Most,
mm-hmm.
and it reminded me of a book that I really hope people read by Michael Perry, which is also a novella. You can read it probably in an afternoon. It's titled 40 Acres Deep. And it's a short work of fiction set in a world of stark wintry beauty. It tells the brief but unrelenting tale of a farmer's attempt to save the remains of his land and make sense of a world he no longer recognizes, while calling himself into account after the death of his wife and child. It is, I think, and there's some humor in there as
of
well.
Of course, knowing there, Mike, there's, yeah. There's,
knowing
there's
Michael
humor,
Perry, there's but... some humor in there as well. But in the end, I thought it was, frankly, I thought it was one of his best books.
Yeah, I agree. And again, I listened to it, and in his voice, it makes a huge difference too, because he's got a wonderful voice and he's a great storyteller.
Yeah.
And this really, he knows this, the main character, really well, this farmer. So.
40 Acres Deep is the title.
Very, very good.
Very, very good.
Great gift idea for anybody who's still looking for a gift out there too.
Yeah.
Lots of people will like it.
I'm sure of that. Well, the newsroom works very hard every day to bring you, you know, pretty much the most important and accurate stories from around the state. But somehow they have time to read. And let's hear from editor Deneen Smith first.
This is Deneen Smith. I'm the daily news editor here at WPR. My favorite book this year was Tell Me Everything, a novel by Elizabeth Strout. She's one of my favorite authors, just a wonderful novelist. And this novel brought together two of her most beloved characters, Olive Kitteridge and Lucy Barton. And it's just a book about the importance of relationships in our lives, about the sort of hidden stories of regular people. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful book. I also really enjoyed Last Call at the Hotel Imperial by Deborah Cohen. It's a book about a group of reporters in Europe in the lead up to World War II. It's nonfiction, and it was, for me as a journalist, really fascinating and also just sort of disconcerting parallels to things that are happening across the world right now. I really recommend it.
Okay. Thank you, Deneen. Yeah, and actually, you know, she was talking about two women having conversation or whatever, but I've been reading a number of books by a person named Sarah Goodman Confino, and the one I read that I particularly like this year is Don't Forget to Write. This is the middle of three books she's written, all set in the 1960s, and they've got that sense of women discovering freedom, really, for the first time, and it's a lot of generational with mom, you know, you're not supposed to do this, and daughter's like, but I really want to do this. And it's funny. It's exhilarating. It's got a lot of emotions, but it's just a really, really good, well, listen for me, but a good read. So I would highly recommend it. That's Don't Forget to Write by Sarah Goodman Confino.
And we have an email from Wendy. She just finished The Frozen River by Ariel Lowen. It's historical fiction based on the true life story of Martha Ballard, a midwife living in the mid-1700s in Maine, who becomes involved in a mysterious murder mystery, which you and I always like murder mysteries.
Mm-hmm.
It's exceptionally well written, Wendy says. Hard to put down. Wendy loved this book and will be reading more from this author, Ariel Lowen. And the book was The Frozen River.
Okay, great. Thank you.
By the way, you can join in too. If you have a suggestion, I hope you will join in. The number to call, 800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or, of course, you can email us, as some people have done. The email address, talk@WPR.org. And we have Bobby from Stevens Point. So let's go there. Bobby, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I got notified that you were taking calls today. And I have a book that I want to recommend that really got not much publicity. And I'm loving the book. It's called Familiaris by David Robleski.
Familiaris.
The book is, yes, it is a prequel to his previous book, which was the story of Edgar Sawtell.
Yes.
And both of these books are Oprah picks. And for some reason, I have been talking to my friends, and they're not aware that that book is out. So I just wanted to bring that out. It's a wonderful, it would be a wonderful Christmas gift this year.
Yeah, and the author, what the author's name?
Is David Robleski.
Yes, and we interviewed David Robleski about the Edward Sawtelle book, which sold millions of copies. It was, and this was several years back, and I kept wondering when his next book would come out. So Familiaris, I haven't read it yet. Yeah. I haven't looked at it yet, Bobby, but...
Thank you. Thank you, Bobby. Really appreciate you telling us about that. So now Larry's got another book on his list.
Yeah.
And we're going to go from Bobby to Robbie. I'm sure Rob Mentzer in the news department probably wouldn't appreciate me calling him Robbie, but, you know, he's got a good sense of humor. So let's hear what he had to say.
I'm Rob Mentzer. I'm the assistant news director for WPR. One of my favorite books from this year was The City and the City by China Mieville. It's kind of a sci-fi detective novel. It's about this Eastern European city that is situated literally on top of another city, like in the same space. And the residents of the two cities are not allowed to interact. There's a kind of like a supernatural police force that prevents any crossover from happening. And then one day there is a murder, and the novel follows the investigation. It is a great read. It has some really compelling plot twists. I loved it. Another book I really enjoyed was G-Man, J. Edgar Hoover and the Making of the American Century by Beverly Gage. This is a biography of J. Edgar Hoover. And so it has the whole story. He ran the FBI for nearly 40 years. It goes from the progressive era when his career first started, the founding of the FBI in the 30s, all the way up until the Nixon era. So he had his hands in a lot of different parts of American history. The book is very clear-eyed about the ways that Hoover abused his power, which he did, but it also gets into what motivated him, what the politics were, what pressures he was facing as the FBI director. It has stories of chasing John Dillinger through the Northwoods, Wisconsin. It has ordering investigations of Martin Luther King Jr. for supposed communist sympathies. You get a whole lot of American history in this story of this very flawed but very influential figure.
I've heard good things about that book lately.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I have as well. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for... giving us those recommendations. Kathy in Amherst Junction is with us with a suggestion as well. Hi, Kathy.
Hello. I'm recommending The Memoirs of Stockholm Sven, and it's written by Ian Nathan Miller. That could be Nathan Ian Miller. It is about a worker in Stockholm that has a number of mishaps and goes to the Arctic because he has little other chance to do anything in Scandinavia. It's set during World War I, and it is beautifully written, very exciting. It's one of those books that keeps you up. You don't want to go to bed because it's so exciting.
Oh, and the author again?
Is Ian Nathan Miller.
It's actually Nathan Ian Miller, according to our wonderful technical director, Lee Rayburn.
Okay. All right. Okay, good. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy, very much. So many good recommendations.
It just blows my mind, Larry. There's so many good books out there. I think, you know, let's go over. I can see our friend Norman Gilliland from the WPR Music Network right through the window here, and he's busy right now. But he had time to give us a few of his titles, too. And as you know, he does Chapter a Day also. So let's
and have written a few of his own as well.
He has, yes. Let's hear from Norman.
I'm Norman Gilliland. I read for Chapter a Day on Wisconsin Public Radio, and I'd like to recommend the book Fallen by Mick Confrey. The subtitle is George Mallory and the Tragic 1924 Everest Expedition. A curious book in some ways in that it gives you the end at the beginning, but then a long build-up to it, and it's nonfiction about a tragic expedition up Mount Everest in 1924, and recent discoveries tie in nicely. You can provide your end to this book with recent news stories about George Mallory and his tragic climb up Mount Everest. And I'd like to recommend The Devil's Element. It's nonfiction. It's by Dan Egan, and it has to do with phosphorus, which at the same time is both crucial to human life but also very deadly when used in the wrong way. And this book will go a long way toward convincing you that we need to be using phosphorus much more carefully in all of our enterprises. I'm Norman Gilliland.
Okay. I guess we're done.
I guess we're done there. And he mentioned Dan Egan's book, The Devil's Element, and we interviewed Dan Egan.
Number of times. Mm-hmm.
And he is Norman's exactly right. You really your eyes are opened at the element phosphorus mm-hmm. in that book. And he raises a number of concerns in that book. But it's also it's a very entertaining book at the same time.
Right.
Very well written, and it's science-based for sure. And
it's nice to have that combination where sometimes science writers can be a little too technical, but
yeah.
then you get wonderful writers like him that can actually tell you the story with you understanding every bit of it. So great. Thank you, Norman.
Let's take another call. Lyle, who's in the town of Sun Prairie, has a book to recommend. Hi, Lyle.
Hi, Larry. I wanted to recommend a book by a mutual friend of ours, Lowell Klessig, and Lowell and his son co-authored a book called Words with My Father. It starts out with Lowell growing up in Calumet County as a farm boy and dealing with bipolar disease, both his own and bipolar disease in his family. And then he went on to the university. He got a bachelor's, two master's, and a PhD in 10 years. And he's talking about how he adapted to the machinations of the bipolar disease at the same time throwing himself into his academic work. It pretty much ends as he was just leaving his university or college career and starting his professional career. Lowell was my best friend for 40 years. We did 30 years. We took a canoe trip in remote areas in Ontario. I hunted his place every year in deer season, and he left this wonderful memoir to his son to put together. So.
Lyle, thank you so much. Lowell Klessig was on the show many times over the years. I interviewed Lowell. He was very passionate about the outdoors and the environment, a great fisherman. And Lyle, thank you for bringing up the book, Words with My Father. Appreciate that very much. Well, Georgia and Madison has a suggestion for us, so let's go there. Georgia, hi.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. Yeah, I would like to recommend Swamp Story by Dave Barry. My partner and I listened to it. It's an antidote to all the seriousness that's been happening in the news. It's funny and ridiculous. It's set in the Florida Everglades about a woman who finds some buried treasure and all the bad guys who are trying to take it away from her.
We're getting a little interference there. Sorry, Georgia. But.
Yeah. Well, Dave Barry, I have interviewed Dave Barry a number of times over the years. He is a funny, funny guy, and I haven't read Swamp Story yet, but I'll take a look.
Yeah, you know, I'll have to say, I don't read too much of Dave Barry's humor work. It's not my sense of humor, but he has a series that's called Peter and the Star Catchers that he did with Ridley Pearson, and it's, I don't know how many books, maybe 9 or 10, and it's kind of a takeoff on Peter Pan, and it is one of the best series that I've read, and it's good for kids and adults both. So
I remember interviewing him once about a story that he wrote up, and he won many writing awards for his journalism, but mm-hmm. telling a story about and how in I think the state of Washington a whale blew up dead on the shore. And they decided, and I'm trying to figure out how to get rid of it. And they put it to the Public Works Department, and they decided to dynamite it. And this is the funniest story I have.
Oh, dear.
he described that on the air, and I was laughing so hard.
Yeah, he can tell a story, that's for sure. Well, thank you, Georgia. That's Swamp Story by Dave Barry.
Let's see, we've got many friends in WPR music and always have some great suggestions. Sheila Sigley has one, I believe.
She does. Let's hear what she has to say.
Hi, this is Sheila Sigley, host of Simply Folk on Wisconsin Public Radio. Book one choice for me is Family of Secrets by Russ Baker. The subject is Cold War history and political assassinations. Why I chose this book? On the surface, Family of Secrets is an accessible, gripping study of the Kennedy assassination. Under the hood, it's a call to arms for restoring critical thinking and truth in journalism. And book number two for me is A Woman I Know. It's by Mary Haverstick. The subject is Cold War history, female aviators, espionage, and more. And I chose it because it's an utterly fascinating personal account by the author of her sometimes very dangerous journey to understand the life of American aviator, astronaut, and likely spy, Jerry Cobb. And I highly recommend the audiobook read by the author herself.
Nice.
I like that. I tell you what a variety of
oh,
books
I love
we're
this.
Getting from
and we
our...
haven't had one single one that's a duplicate yet. So I just wanted to say she was talking about the author reading, and I absolutely love when you can get an author to read, like I was talking about, like 40 Acres Deep. But I listened to Barbara Streisand read her tome. It was like 20 some hours or 40 hours or something. It's a huge, but it was so interesting hearing it in her voice.
Oh. Anna in La Crosse sent us an email and recommends The Land Remembers by Ben Logan. That's been around a long time, but it's a classic. It's a memoir about a family and their farm in southwest Wisconsin. Ben Logan, a gifted writer, and this was even reviewed by the New York Times. I interviewed when that book came out, which is a long time ago, but it still rings. And for that book, I don't think it matters a whit when it was written. You could read that 50 years from now. It would make an interesting read. She enjoys books that shine a light on our state's farm and our ranch history. Logan kind of notices and touches on everything, including bugs in the course of. And you know, just a reminder on our book club books, we always go for either a Wisconsin author. Typically, it's a Wisconsin author, or maybe a book that is set in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. Or Midwest. Sometimes we've gotten Minnesota or Michigan or what have you. But yeah, that's what we try to do.
And we'll be giving you a little preview of our book clubs for 2025 coming up in a bit here. I'm Larry Mueller with Jill Nadeau for WPR News. Great to have you along on WPR News. Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau, and we're talking book recommendations on the show today. We're hearing from the WPR staff about the books that they recommend. And, of course, always interested in the books that you have to recommend as well. Open lines get you on pretty quickly. If you've got a book you'd like to recommend, give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Or you could email us, and the email address, talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. Jill, we got an email from Juanita, who couldn't stay with us, but Juanita recommends A Fever in the Heartland, the Ku Klux Klan's plot to take over America, and the women who stopped them.
Wow.
Timothy Egan is one of the best books Juanita's ever read.
Wow, that's interesting. Definitely different. I've never heard of that topic before.
I haven't heard of that
one either. So that's great. And I just wanted to mention, too, that, you know, our friend Michelle Good, who is the executive producer of Chapter a Day, is listening intently, she said, because she's always looking for potential books for Chapter a Day. So I think she would be, she would love to take your ideas through us if you have any recommendations. So you can give us a call, 800-642-1234. And you can send an email, too, and that's talk@WPR.org.
Jane sent us an email. There's an excellent historical nonfiction book on the war in the Aleutian Islands during World War II. It's called The Thousand Mile War, World War II in Alaska and the Aleutians. Brian Garfield wrote it, and it was written in 1969, but has been republished as a paperback, a detailed history of the military war between Japan and the U.S. on American soil.
Wow, that's an interesting perspective also. Love it.
Absolutely. So, well,
yeah, let's get back to some of our WPR recommendations here. Who's up next, Larry?
Well, I don't know who's up next. I think it's... Oliver Gearhart.
That's right. It's Oliver. They're one of our newest members of our staff.
So many people who work behind the scenes at WPR, and obviously we all read here. And he's actually one of our newer members, right? Oliver Gearhart. Oliver?
Hi, my name is Oliver Gearhart, and I'm a weekend student engineer at Wisconsin Public Radio. I recommend Dune Messiah by Frank Herbert. It's a sequel to the book that served as the basis for the recent Dune movies, and it's my favorite of the books in that series. It takes place 10 years after the first book, and it's about the consequences that come to the leaders of a world that they've taken over in a religious jihad. I recommend this book because, in contrast with what came before it, Dune Messiah is really bleak. It shows the evil side of what happens after the classic hero's journey is complete. I found it more captivating than the book that came before it, and recommend it especially to those with an interest in political intrigue. I also recommend Born a Crime, Stories from a South African Childhood by Trevor Noah. The autobiography of the host of The Daily Show, Born a Crime, shows a complete picture of growing up as South African apartheid came to its end. The story about class inequality is made very complete because of the author's experience as a mixed-race man, which allowed him to spend time in two very different worlds. I recommend this book not only because it offers incredible insight into the racism present in South Africa at the time, but because it is written like a comedy special. Trevor Noah presents the story of his life and the hardships of those around him with the needed respect while making the book a really funny read. Most of these funny moments are antics from his youth, but he managed to add a glimmer of hope to even the darkest moments in his life. The third book I recommend is Sitting Pretty, The View from My Ordinary Resilient Disabled Body by Rebecca Taussig. This collection of autobiographical essays from writer and activist Rebecca Taussig gives a first-person account of the experiences of a disabled woman in America. The author discusses dating, teaching, working, and living with a disability. The reason I recommend this book is because reading it really gave me a window into perspective that I had been lacking in my life. Rebecca does an amazing job of making the book accessible to those who don't have any knowledge of disability, and brings readers into her world with open arms. Again, I'm Oliver Gearhart, and happy holidays to everyone.
Wow, that's a great combination of very unique ones. Yes, I love it.
Thank you very much, Oliver, for those suggestions. We've got Sharon from De Pere, Wisconsin, who is with us. Sharon, what's on your list?
One book that I recently read, I even interviewed the author. The name of the book is Grief is a Sneaky Bee. I understand I can't say the word on air. And Lisa Kiefauber is the author. She also has a podcast of the same name.
Okay. And the book is...
What is it about, Lisa?
Well, this is Sharon. Lisa's the
author. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, sorry. My fault.
The book is, it's an amazing discussion of the author lost her husband suddenly, and she goes through the trauma of sudden loss, and she has amazing tips on how the body and the mind and the soul can process grief. And she shares those in the book as well as on her podcast. And the reason I love it so much is because it's honest, it's raw, and it's not afraid to talk about death and loss and grief, which I don't think we talk enough about.
Yeah. Sharon, that's well put. Thank you so much for recommending it. And we've done... I'm blanking on the author. A gentleman wrote about the death of his wife. And it was really entertaining. It was raw at times, but also there was humor in that book, too. And I'm going to have to, I'll tell you what, after our news break at the top of the hour, I will have that information.
I can't remember. I just looked at the book, too. It's a small volume, but do you think I can remember the name of it or the name of the author? No,
I will suddenly remember it when I run back to my office and
look,
grab
you're
the copy.
Cheat.
Thank you, Sharon. Oh, man. Susie in Manitowoc. Your turn. Hi, Susie.
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking the call. This is a book, Hornet's Nest, by Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter was, of course, from Georgia. So this is a novel, but it sheds many facts about what part the South played in the Revolutionary War. So Jimmy Carter was probably more aware of that than we are, but I did not realize that so much. We always think of the Northeast, but in the Southeast, a lot happened that contributed to our victory in the Civil War. Jimmy Carter is an amazing writer. He tells a story as it goes along, because it is a novel, but it's full of many facts about the Revolutionary War.
Oh, Susie, thank you. Now, I was not aware. It's a book I was not aware of.
Me either. It came out in 2001, Larry, so that's probably why...
It's kind of
it's back in your memory.
Cracks anyway.
Yeah. No, that sounds like a really interesting book.
Yeah, that's another one. Mm-hmm. Writing down. Thank you, Susie, very much. And let's see, Nathaniel and DePere. Let's go to you. Hi, Nathaniel.
Hi, Larry. Know about The Things They Carry. I don't remember the author's name. I remember reading it in high school. It's a historical fiction book about the Vietnam War. It follows a platoon of soldiers, and it talks about not only the things they physically carried, but the mental and social issues they had during the war.
And the title is The Things They Carry. Jill, are you familiar with that book?
I'm not, but I know that the author is Tim O'Brien because Lee told me so. So we've got that. So we've got the author and the title. It's so neat when I hear people giving out recommendations for books that they read in high school, because so many people complain about having to read books when you're in school. Mm-hmm. So that's great. Thank you, Nathaniel.
Thank you very much. The Things They Carry mm-hmm. is the title of that particular book. And maybe we have time for one more from Phyllis in the town of Dunn. Hi, Phyllis.
Hi, this book is called The Ministry for the Future, and it's by Kim Stanley Robinson. And it's a very well-plotted book that looks at, could we save the planet from global warming? How would that happen? It's got lots of characters, lots of subplots. It's really fascinating and ultimately very inspiring to think that we could save this planet.
Oh.
Thank you, Phyllis. And actually, one of our WPR members, Noah Oshinsky, that's on his list, too. So we'll hear a little bit about that again later. So thank you, Phyllis.
Thank you very much, Phyllis. Well, I tell you what, this is a lot of fun. And Jill and I have not given our book recommendations yet. We will be doing that, though, coming up in the next hour of the program. And certainly you can join in. Maybe email us to talk@WPR with your recommendation. Or we have open lines to get you on pretty quickly at 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. We will take a quick look at the news. We'll find out what else is in store for us here on WPR, and then we will be back. I'm Larry Mueller with Jill Nadeau for WPR News and The Larry Mueller Show. Thanks for joining in today on WPR News. Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau. We're listening to book recommendations from the staff here at WPR and from callers like you. It's been a lot of fun as we've lined up our 2025 book club, but as closing out 2024, it's always great to look back and see what people loved in the books that they've read. And of course, always want to hear from you. And you can join in at 800-642-1234 or email to talk@wpr.org.
And we've got lots of them, Larry.
Sam
lots
Hack.
Of recognition, yeah.
Let's do Sam Hack and then we'll take some calls from listeners. Sam Hack has a Sam is a unique person to begin
she
with.
She is.
She's the only one I know with a kind of a
Christmas tree hat.
And a skeleton.
In her office. Not her closet. In her office.
Right in the office, just sitting there. I don't think it's a real one, but it's full size.
I hope it's not a real one.
But she has one that's set in Wisconsin. So let's listen to what Sam has to say.
My name is Sam. At WPR, I am the executive assistant to the director, but I'm probably most known here for sending the emails that everybody promptly deletes. I am recommending a comic book, actually. I don't usually read traditional novels. I prefer comic books, but I just want to be clear, not superhero comics. I don't read any of those. My preferred genre is horror comic books. And the one that I am recommending today is called Something is Killing the Children. This is a really critically acclaimed ongoing series, still ongoing, but I wanted to specifically talk about the first story arc because it is set in Wisconsin. The author of the series was actually born and raised in Milwaukee and graduated from UW-Marquette. So the first story arc in the series is set in a fictional Wisconsin town. And there are little kind of Wisconsin Easter eggs throughout the story. So the story is about monsters that kill children, as the title says, and a woman that fights the monsters. So one of the little Easter eggs is at a point a character is really stressed out and asks a friend if they just want to go hang out in the Dells for the weekend to unwind. So things like that. So that is my recommendation for Larry's book recommendation series.
Well, thank you, Sam.
That's cool. Well, you know, Sam's younger, too.
She is.
Certainly a lot younger than I am.
And me.
And so I'm glad that she brought that up.
Yeah, and I don't know. Is it a comic book or is it a graphic novel? I don't know the difference between those. So if someone knows, please, I've got a lot of friends who are librarians. Why don't you let me know what the difference is? But it's pictures, obviously, that tell the story along with the words. So,
absolutely.
Cool. Thanks, Sam.
Joel in Fond du Lac, we'll give you a chance to join in. Hi, Joel.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
There was a book that stood out in my mind, and I read some fiction, but mostly it's nonfiction. And I don't remember the name of the author, but the name of the book was called An American in the Gulag. And it took place, I believe, in the mid-60s during the height of the Cold War. And this gentleman worked at a U.S. embassy in Russia, and he was picked up as a potential spy and given what was at that time enhanced interrogation, but for a high-profile person that they didn't want to damage so much that when they released him, because they were planning on eventually releasing him, it was obvious like that he'd been, for lack of a better word, tortured.
Yeah.
It's not a depressing book. It's a very enlightening book. And in today's climate of, you know, Syria falling and, you know, all these other countries and, you know, it really kind of gives an insight into what a quote-unquote civilized country does as far as interrogation and the methods they use and the feelings and what he's going through trying to resist the interrogation. And just not to be a spoiler, but he was absolutely had done nothing wrong. So he had no idea why he was being held.
Oh.
Okay, thank you, Joel. And the official name is Alexander Dolgan's Story, An American in the Gulag, and it was co-written with Patrick Watson.
So there you go. Joel, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Greg in Beloit, let's go to you. Hi, Greg.
Hello. I would like to recommend the book Cool S by Di Booth, kind of in the spirit of a ghost story for Christmas. This is a horror story about how those strange childhood rituals that nobody seems to know where they come from are actually something much more sinister. And in this case, it's drawing the cool S. So it's a very short, tightly composed, self-published book that I liked a lot.
Great. Thank you, Greg. Yeah,
and Greg's got the voice for that, too.
Yeah, he does. It's Cool S, like the letter S. So that's how it's spelled, just for those who are interested. The author is Die, D-I-E, Booth, B-O-O-T-H.
And let's take one more here. Christopher in Reedsburg. Your turn. Hi, Christopher.
Hello, Mr. Miller. Thank you for letting me talk.
Sure.
The book that I have to recommend, it's a nonfiction book. History. I'm a history buff, and I read it a number of years ago, but still kind of calls out to me. It's called A Man in His Ship by Stephen, I'm going to butcher the man's name, Ujifusa. It's about the SS United States, the essentially last ocean liner that was really built, especially in the States, and about the man that designed and built it, Frank Gibbs. It covers his life from the very beginning, his history, his past, and how he had this idea to build an American ocean liner and to really take it to the British and the German liners and the French of the time, like the Queen Mary's, the Normandies. And, of course, over the time, he continues to evolve the design of the ship, and not only wants to make it as powerful as possible, but to make it as safe as possible, too. It's an excellent read if you're into history, ocean liners, you know, the grand age of the ocean liner. It has pictures in there of just his history and the ship itself. And definitely it's come to my mind recently again because the United States, she's still intact. She's been tied up in Philadelphia for decades since she was retired in the 60s. And unfortunately, it looks like the hopes of the Conservancy that we're working to kind of get a new life, like the Queen Mary out in California, have come to naught, and it's been sold to a Florida county to be turned into an artificial reef.
Yeah, I just actually heard about that, Christopher. I think it was a story I listened to on CBS Sunday Morning, possibly. But yeah. Talked to his daughter, the architect's daughter. So,
A Man in His Ship.
Yep,
is the title. Christopher, thank you so much. And maybe we have time for Sam and Stephen's Point. Sam, hi.
Hi there. I wanted to recommend The Zoo Job. It's got a funny subtitle, Working Where All Your Friends Are Behind Bars. And it's nonfiction. It's about a college kid working at a small Midwestern zoo. He's not the hero. Lots and lots of things go wrong. It's really funny, but you also learn a lot.
Okay. I've got to write that down because my daughter worked at the Milwaukee Zoo on an internship this last summer and really enjoyed working in zoos. So A Zoo Job.
Yeah, and it's based on the TV series Leverage. And it's written by Keith DeCandio, DeCandio. So if anybody's looking for that, that sounds very interesting. So.
We have, yeah, and we should give Bailey Anderson a chance.
Yeah, absolutely.
To talk about folklore, rom-coms.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's hear from her.
I'm Bailey Anderson, a member services specialist with Wisconsin Public Radio. My two favorite books from this year are Pew by Catherine Lacey and Rosalind Palmer Takes the Cake by Alexis Hall. Pew by Catherine Lacey was called by reviewer Jonathan Lethem an of-the-moment fable, and I can't think of a more fitting description. A figure with no discernible identity and no ability to speak appears in a small religious town in the American South, throwing its inhabitants into a frenzy. The figure is given the name Pew and invited to participate in their annual forgiveness festival. I found it reflective and philosophical, with themes of religion, trauma, and forgiveness. This book clocks in at about 200 pages, making it perfect for hitting end-of-year reading goals. Rosalind Palmer Takes the Cake by Alexis Hall is a fun, romantic comedy with a setting of a televised British baking competition. If you're really missing the weekly Great British Baking Show episodes like I am, now that the season has ended, it's a great pick to fill in the gaps. Rosalind Palmer enters the competition to give her daughter a better life with the prize money. She's soon caught in a love triangle with fellow contestants Elaine Pope and Harry Dobson. The characters are lovable, and even though there's definitely some serious moments, it has remained one of my all-time favorites for lighthearted reading. Again, I'm Bailey Anderson, a member services specialist with Wisconsin Public Radio. Happy holidays and happy reading.
Oh, thank you, Bailey. That last one I've heard of, and I heard it is a very good book. So.
I would love to read that book, too. I love the British Baking Show.
Me, too. I haven't listened to the last one, though, so I have to, yeah. Don't,
yeah, well,
no spoilers,
once you start, it's like
yeah, I wanna be able
hour
to binge
upon
it.
Hour.
Yeah, they're great. They're great.
Vern in Boyd, Wisconsin, what's on your mind? What book do you recommend?
Okay, I got a timeless book. It's by Joe Gardner, and it's called Stay Tuned, Television's Unforgettable Moments. It's hosted by Dick Van Dyke, Walter Cronkite, Bob Costas. It's got two DVDs in there and one DVR. It shows the Nixon-Kennedy debate and I Love Lucy, Johnny Carson, the whole nine yards. You can't find a better book.
Oh, love it.
Stay Tuned. Yeah, and those names, I've kind of lived through all of those.
Me too.
Those
Me too.
Folks. So, and I hadn't heard of that book.
Yeah.
Vern, thank you very much.
Yeah, for
Appreciate
sure.
Appreciate it.
You know, I got to say, Larry, you know, there was a book when I was, it wasn't a book, actually, it was albums of old radio shows that got me interested in radio. Just old shows like that, you know, Jack Benny and news stories like the Hindenburg and things like that just really grabbed my attention and my imagination.
Well, when I was a little kid, that's what I listened to. I had Big John and Sparky on the radio in search of the lost elephant graveyard and the shadow.
I was just gonna say that, Larry. So what did the shadow know anyway? I've never found that out.
Enough to scare me.
Was that Orson Welles that did that?
I honestly don't know.
Okay.
But the shadow was and the Green Hornet was
Little Orphan Annie.
But the Saturday morning show was Big John and Sparky in search of something. The one I remember was the Lost Elephant Graveyard.
Okay, well, it must have been a good one. All right,
Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau. You're listening to Talk at WPR.org. Thanks for joining us on WPR News. Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau. We're talking about the books that we've read and other WPR staff have read, and we're hearing from you. Many listeners have given their recommendations, so having a lot of fun doing that during the show. Just wanted to mention that next week on Tuesday, That is Christmas Eve, and you know what happens then? Santa comes a-calling.
Ooh, day of reckoning.
The day Santa will be pulling in on his sled. He can park it on the top of our building here, because it's a flat-top building. And we'll have him on the show on Christmas Eve from noon to 1, and he'll be ready to take calls from our young listeners to talk with them about what they want for Christmas. And always enjoy that show. It's a lot of fun. And that's Christmas Eve. So remember, noon to 1.
Yeah, and before that,
if you got some kids, give them a call, have them call in.
For sure. And before that, we're doing our annual Christmas music show, too. So excellent together.
Yeah, looking forward to that as well.
All right. Well, now we're talking about wonderful books, and we got some great recommendations from the people here who work at WPR. And next, we're going to go to a group of leaders in our organization. And first up is going to be Molly Gardner. She manages the Eau Claire Bureau. And actually, Molly helped us with our live broadcast broadcast in Fall Creek this summer. Did a great job with that. So let's hear what Molly has to say.
Hi, my name is Molly Gardner, and I am the regional manager for Western and Northern Wisconsin for Wisconsin Public Radio. I would recommend you read We Used to Live Here by Marcus Clewer. In this book, a young couple moves into a house when they get a knock on the door, and it's a man with his family, and they stand in the front door. Their car broke down. It's the middle of a snowstorm. And he was saying they were in the neighborhood, and he used to live here when he was a kid, and he would like a tour of the place. Now, the main character is a people pleaser, so she lets the family in and kind of starts showing them around. And then the snowstorm gets worse, and this family has to stay the night in this man's old house. Well, as they stay the night, weird things start happening, so things aren't where they were originally placed. Weird phone calls start happening, and shadows start appearing and disappearing and moving in weird directions, and the main character starts to get a little hesitant because she thinks the family is doing something. But at one point she opens a room, and the room is completely different from how she set it up a day ago. And so this book is very interesting. It's the first psychological thriller I think I've ever read, and it kept me going from start to finish. There's little Easter eggs hidden throughout the book. There's little side stories throughout the book. There's little, like, Morse code items happening. There's a lot going on in this book, and it's a fairly short book. I think it took me maybe 4 or 5 hours to read, so a very quick open and shut book. So if you're interested in thrillers and books you think about, like, after you're done reading them, or a book that you wish you could read for the first time, I would recommend you read We Used to Live Here by Marcus Clewer, and I would highly recommend The Life We Bury by Alan Eskins. It's about this student who is going to community college, and he has to write an essay about someone's life. So he goes to a nursing home and asks them if they have a resident who he could interview about their life. And they have him work with this guy who is about ready to pass, and he is a convicted murderer. And I really recommend this book because I thought it was just going to be a retelling of this guy's life, and it wasn't. It was more about how he got convicted of being a murderer despite there being a lack of evidence of him actually doing it. The main character kind of takes it upon himself to find out more about this story. He starts doing his own investigative work and realizes, like, things are not adding up. The jury was wrong on the conviction. And so it's just this community college student working to find what had happened to this case. And it's really interesting and is very fast paced. It definitely ended in a different way than I thought it was going to end, and it kept me on my toes from start to finish. And this is definitely a book that you can finish in one sitting. I would highly recommend The Life We Bury by Alan Eskins.
There you go.
Okay.
Molly Gardner with a couple of good sounding recommendations. I wonder if Michelle is writing those down.
I don't know.
I don't know. Keely Baltina has an entire series to recommend. Mm-hmm. Let's hear from her.
My name is Keely Boltina, and I'm the associate director here at WPR. This year, I listened to Amazing Grace Adams by Fran Littlewood. It was a chaotic read. The book jumps between what is happening over the course of a single day that is just disastrous, and then it gives you all of the context, all of the difficult things, all of the fun things that have led up to this over the course of years. As you know, Grace has struggled as a mother, as a wife, trying to balance work and figure out how to handle all of that as things really fall apart. It is not by any means a comforting read, but I saw enough of myself in it that I felt like I could identify with it, but it was also different enough that I could keep the content at arm's length. So I don't want every book that I read to be like that and leave me a little bit kind of tense or discombobulated, but sometimes that's okay. And for me, Amazing Grace Adams was a really good read. That book is definitely for adults. On the other side of the spectrum, I really love to listen to audiobooks with my kids, and I have really gotten into the Who Was, Who Is, What Is series of books. So they are about an hour long when you can listen to them, and you know, much shorter if you read them. But we'll put them on, and it runs the gamut. Like, we've gone through Who Was Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, or Who Was Ferdinand Magellan, Who Was Amelia Earhart. We listened to What Is the Women's Rights Movement, Who Was Milton Hershey. And so we've gone through a bunch of those, and I find that those hours are refreshers on things that I learned a really long time ago. There are times that it kind of rewrites the way that I thought about different events or people when I thought I knew something that maybe I didn't. There have also been times that, because they're written for younger audiences, they've framed things in a way that is a little less harsh than maybe the reality of some of these circumstances. So it's given us a lot of opportunities to listen and then talk about how we see things, how it's framed, and how we can just learn about other people and share our experiences and think about how we can take care of one another. So those are also at the top of my list when I think back on the year and what I've enjoyed reading.
Keely Boltina. Yeah, nice. And those some excellent. And again, I want to mention that all of these books from our WPR staff, if you go to WPR at 2 o'clock today, and yes, from there on forward, we'll have all of the recommendations in a list for you.
Yeah, so WPR.org/Larry, and you'll see the note for today talking about this show, and then there'll be a link, and that link will take you to that list. So,
Mary in Wauwatosa has a recommendation for us.
Yes, I do. And thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I enjoy owls. I become more and more interested in them. The name of the book is What an Owl Knows by Jennifer Ackerman. Actually, I got my copy at Posmo Books, and I was put onto owls a bit by a neighbor who one day, in fact, came galloping into my backyard from hers and said, "Look up in the tree next to you." So sure enough, another neighbor's backyard, large conifer, the big pine, had a great horned owl sitting there very placidly looking at us, like, "What are you staring at?" sort of attitude. But the book is extremely well researched. It is actually worldwide in its coverage of owls, numbers of places in the United States. And so if there's anything that intrigues you about owls, I would highly recommend it.
Well, thank you,
Jennifer,
Mary.
Yeah, What an Owl Knows. And I wanted to get a copy of that. You know, I have, let's see, I'm trying to think of how many wood-carved owls. I have a snowy owl. I have a barn owl. I have a barred owl. Those are all wood-carved. And then I have, I've got a couple of, I've got a painting of three barred owls, and I have a photograph that is, what, about 4 feet by 2 feet of a snowy owl on a barn roof by a very famous photographer that I've treasured. So, what an owl knows sounds like a good one.
Yeah, and I'm actually, Larry, I think we did get that advanced reading copy. It might actually be in our office.
Oh.
So, it just didn't fit into our schedule last year. But, yeah, it really looks like a great book. And, you know, we love to read books about animals, especially
birds. And feature
birds.
Them on the show.
We do. We do. And then, finally, Larry, let's just get to
The leaders. We're still in the leadership.
Oh, yep. I almost forgot Noah. Yeah, we've got one more. So let's hear from Noah, what he's recommending.
Noah Obshinsky.
My name is Noah Obshinsky, and I am the Chief Content Officer at Wisconsin Public Radio. I have two recommendations for folks this year. The first is The Ministry of the Future, which is a book I really enjoyed. It's by Kim Stanley Robinson. And it's a blend of science fiction and nonfiction that really dares to imagine how the world might respond to, you know, catastrophic weather events brought on by climate change. It's not a light read, but it's entertaining and important, which is, I think, a rare combination these days in literature. The other recommendation I have is The Book of Dust by Philip Pullman. And this book takes place in the world established in a very popular His Dark Materials trilogy that was made up of The Amber Spyglass, The Subtle Knife, and The Golden Compass. There were movies eventually made and TV shows based on that trilogy. But The Book of Dust really creates the world that eventually is shown in that trilogy. It really was a great read and helped set the stage for the books and events to come in that really wonderful world that Philip Pullman created in that groundbreaking series. Happy holidays, everybody.
Okay. Thank you, Noah.
Thank you very much, Noah, for that. I appreciate it very much. I haven't given, you know, there's one book that I did want to mention that I really enjoyed, and this time of the year, I think it'd be a really good read for people. It's, and I'm recommending it, it's Remarkably Bright Creatures. It's a novel by Shelby Van Pelt, and I finished reading that book, and I thought, gosh, I hope everybody can read this book. It's a story about Tova, a widow who's lost her son, and she is befriended by Marcellus, a giant Pacific octopus. And this takes a lot, some of this takes place in a Seoul Bay aquarium. And it is such an inspiring book and such an interesting read because the octopus doesn't talk, but you go into the mind and what the octopus Marcellus is thinking. But it's also about love and lost love and an exploration of friendships. And it traces that Tova's connection to that giant Pacific octopus. And you might think, what? Am I gonna, you know? But I'm telling you right now.
Yeah, I've heard wonderful things about that. And
it
aren't they making a movie out of that, Larry?
I hope so.
I thought I heard that somewhere along the line. So that would would be nice then. So
nice for Shelby Van Pelt, too. She probably would make a little money on that. But Remarkably Bright Creatures. And I really, this time of the year would be a great time to sit down with that book.
Sure. Okay, well, let's get to the LMS team, Larry Mueller Show staff. And first up is going to be our producer, Clara Neipert. And she's responsible for the shows that you hear on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And here's what Clara had to say.
Hi, I'm Clara Neipert. I'm a producer for the Larry Mueller Show. And I have two books for you. They are both fiction books. The first is by Neil Gaiman, author of American Gods and The Sandman. And I read a shorter book by him called The Ocean at the End of the Lane. It definitely left a mark on me, even though it was a short story. Generally, what happens is a middle-aged man returns to his hometown to attend a funeral, and he, being back in his hometown at the place, it starts to bring up some memories of his childhood for him. So the book flashes back to his childhood when he was 7 years old, and he talks about when he met a family that lived down the road that was a little bit weird and wasn't a regular family, and how they helped him through some things that he was facing in his childhood. Neil Gaiman sort of wrote a little bit about the book, and in his blurb he says, this might seem like it's a book for children, but it's really a book for adults. And I would agree with that too. It kind of takes a retrospective look at childhood and kind of focuses on the helplessness that you feel as a child sometimes. And I think it is a portrayal of childhood that's really complex, remembering sort of the magical parts, but also the parts where you felt really confused and naive. So I wouldn't call it a feel-good read, a feel-good story about childhood, but it was definitely one that makes you reflect and think. My next book also is somewhat about growing up and children. It's called The School for Good Mothers by Jessamine Chan. And what this book is set in sort of the near future. There's this young mother who has a young child, I think 1 or 2 years old, and she makes a mistake one day. She leaves her child alone at home for too long, and CPS gets involved, and she's sort of taken in for questioning, and it's determined that she has to be a part of this program where they watch over you to determine whether or not you are a good enough parent to have your child have care of your child. And that kind of snowballs, and she has to go to this place, the School for Good Mothers, where she has to prove whether or not she has the ability to be a good parent. So it's a look at parenthood and I guess what being a good parent means and judgment, and I won't spoil the story, but it's really interesting. It's one of those, it kind of reminded me a little bit of Margaret Atwood, her writing, kind of a look at a social structure and how government had come in to play a big role in parenting in this fictional future.
Hey, thank you, Clara. Another good selection of books with diverse backgrounds there. Should we go right into Joel, Larry?
Let's go to Joel Patnaud. Yeah, he's responsible for what you hear on shows on Mondays and Wednesdays, and he has one suggestion for you.
Okay, here we go.
Larry Mueller Show, and I really enjoyed this year the 2020 memoir, Misfit, Growing Up Awkward in the 80s by Gary Gulman. This past spring, I went on a Gary Gulman binge. This included, in order, watching his hilarious and heartbreaking 2019 HBO stand-up comedy special, The Great Depression, having the good fortune to see him perform in person last April at a comedy club in Madison, and then reading his 2023 memoir, Misfit, Growing Up Awkward in the 80s. This is the path to getting to know Gulman's work I wholly recommend. While he stands tall, and he's imposing, yet seemingly approachable at 6 feet, 6 inches tall, Gulman's comedy is as self-reflective and humane as it is biting and righteous. He has recycled very little material over the last few years, yet he has taken fans deeper into his subconscious. His book is no throwaway tome like we've come to expect from celebrities fulfilling a lucrative book contract. Misfit, Gulman's new book, is charming yet harrowing, probably the best representation of him as a brilliant wordsmith and confessional comic. Gulman is self-deprecating, willing to admit to his shortcomings and his struggle with crippling depression, while also willing to plant flags on intellectual hills he'll die on literally. And literally, I mean in the sense that he is literal, obsessed with the use and misuse of language. Starting in the early 1990s, Gulman became a stand-up comic, appearing on every major late-night TV comedy show. Despite his success as a comedian's comedian, Gulman has battled depression to the point of having to be hospitalized. Misfit, as its subtitle promises, is primarily about his relatably funny but awkward childhood, from kindergarten through 12th grade, but it is occasionally interrupted by Gulman's trauma as it has manifested in his adulthood. Gulman and I are almost exactly the same age, so the cultural guideposts he cites, if not the astonishing clarity of his childhood memories, line up with mine. But unlike me, Gary grew up Jewish in Massachusetts to divorced parents shooting hoops obsessively in his mother's driveway. Nevertheless, I recognize in myself the lonely, weird kid he was, and I envy the hilarious clarity in his writing. Gulman has battled his demons, remained kind to himself and others around him, and kept his fans laughing at the absurdity of life. So for 2024, my favorite book of the year was Gary Gulman's Misfit, Growing Up Awkward in the 80s.
Okay, I think a lot of people could probably relate to that. Thank you, Joel. Appreciate it. Next up, let's hear from Lee Rayburn, one of the people who make our show sound good every day.
This is Lee Rayburn, a technical director for Larry Mueller. And the most interesting book I read this year was by Benjamin Breen, Tripping on Utopia, Margaret Mead, the Cold War, and the Birth of Psychedelic Science. I heard about a study at the UW researching psychedelics here on WPR, and I was fascinated to read the stories about the Western scientists who began studying psychedelics way back in the 1920s with anthropologist Margaret Mead. Tripping on Utopia makes the case that Timothy Leary and the baby boomers didn't start the modern psychedelic era. They ended it. Pseudoscience, substance abuse, personal demons, and even the CIA all play a role in how research happening where I am right now, was almost completely prohibited for more than a half century, and it makes sense, and it makes for a heck of a story. The part of the book that sticks with me the most is about the scientist who kept dolphins in small holding tanks while giving them huge doses of LSD. Now, the scientist himself was so high, he was convinced he was communicating with the dolphins, but he just couldn't prove it yet, while dolphin after dolphin kept dying. There's real tragedy here, and a fuller history of Western science, for sure. So, instead of a toxic Timothy Leary telling kids to tune in, turn on, and drop out in the 1960s, what if Margaret Mead had gone public with her studies of psychedelics in the 1950s? Tripping on Utopia by Benjamin Breen.
Woo!
It sounds really interesting.
Sounds really interesting. Lee, thanks for that suggestion. And let's wind up with Jeff Robbins.
Okay. He's another person who brings out our voices on the airwaves, and he has a number of titles for you. So let's go.
This is Jeff Robbins, and I have the honor of being a technical director for the Larry Mueller Show here on Wisconsin Public Radio. And I don't read a lot of fiction. I really prefer nonfiction, and I'm going to talk briefly about four nonfiction books that I enjoyed in 2024. Actually, the first one is Saturday Night, which is a book about the backstage history of Saturday Night Live. It actually came out in 1986, but in honor of the show's 50th anniversary, they put out a updated version of the book. And also, if you've seen the recent movie, you know, the old adage, truth is stranger than fiction, comes to mind, because the movie was entertaining, but it was mainly fiction. And the book is more truth and is certainly much more interesting than the movie. So I would recommend Saturday Night by Doug Hill and Jeff Weingrad. Also, this year, I enjoyed a book featured on the Larry Mueller Show called Shirley, You Can't Be Serious, The True Story of Airplane, a great oral history of the 1980 movie. Mainly featuring the creators of the film, Jim Abrams, David Zucker, and Jerry Zucker, who, of course, are from Wisconsin and went to UW-Madison. So there's a good local tie-in with the book and some talk about Milwaukee and UW-Madison. And so that's great, but also very interesting if you're a fan of that movie. And a book that just came out this month, actually, December 2024, The McCartney Legacy, Volume 2. This one goes from 1974 to 1980. It's by Alan Kozin and Adrian Sinclair. It's a follow-up to 2022's Volume 1, which went from 1969 to 1973. And it is a very detailed look at the solo career of Paul McCartney. And if you are interested in the Beatles or Paul McCartney or both, it is really, really illuminating and fascinating. And you might think that everything to be written about Paul McCartney or the Beatles has been written, and this one really goes into detail that you likely do not know. And then finally, the book Deliver Me From Nowhere, The Making of Bruce Springsteen's Nebraska by Warren Zanes. That is a book about Springsteen's 1982 album that kind of came between The River and the blockbuster Born in the USA album, and kind of goes into why he really felt that he needed to strip things back and make an acoustic album before kind of going on the more popular route that he knew he was going down. And that book actually is being made into a movie starring Jeremy Allen White from The Bear. So I'm looking forward to that. So those are my four nonfiction books: The McCartney Legacy, Volume 2, Surely You Can't Be Serious, Deliver Me From Nowhere, The Making of Bruce Springsteen's in Nebraska, and the updated version of Saturday Night. Happy holidays and happy reading.
Oh, lots of good recommendations there. I'm a big Bruce Springsteen
fan.
Yeah,
we both are, Larry.
Seeing Bruce and the boys in action many times over the years.
And talking about books, you know, his autobiography is amazing, and he also reads that too, which is wonderful. So good recommendation for that and from Jeff. And we are going to be back with Larry and I's and my, is that right? I don't know.
Right.
Our book recommendations, so stay with us.
Talking about book recommendations for you for the coming year. There's not a lot of time left in this year, so you may not have time to read too many before then. But I tell you what, I'm learning a lot, and we'll have a list of the books posted on today's program after 2 o'clock today. And so looking forward to getting that list. I have a copy of the list in front of me, which is a good thing because I intend to read some of those books for sure. I was thinking back to this past year. We had many really good books for our book club. One of the books we had was by Hannah Morrissey, who's from Milwaukee, and the book, a novel, was When I'm Dead. And I so enjoyed talking with her. She came over from Milwaukee, and we visited for an hour about her book. And I liked it enough that I thought, you know what, she had four books in the series. I'm going to go back and read the first books. And I really liked Hello, Transcriber, which was her first novel, and it's a novel about the person in the novel. The main character was a transcriber, a woman in a police department in a town sort of near Milwaukee, sort of a crime-ridden town that is made up, but she is transcribes what the detectives talk about in their, you know, when there's a murder or whatever's happening, she transcribes their oral recordings, and she gets herself involved in a murder, and with a cop from the community, and it's gritty at times, but a really, really well-done book and a good read. Hello, Transcriber, and the author, Hannah Morrissey.
One is probably I just actually listened to this last month, and I was kind of blown away. It was a recommendation at the end of another book I had listened to, which is kind of nice because you get introduced to the first chapter.
Yeah.
And so you can kind of tell if you like it or not. But it's called The Wedding People, and it's by Allison Espach, Espach. It's gotten a lot of awards, and it's on a lot of people's lists this year. And I tend to be like, well, maybe, maybe not. But this one, I just loved it. It's just a wise novel. So on the surface, it looks like just a retelling of a woman who decides to check in this really fancy hotel because she wants to kill herself, and how the people who are there for a wedding, the wedding people, actually unexpectedly become her family almost. And it's just a wonderful look. It sounds like it would be kind of depressing, but it is absolutely hilarious, laugh out loud parts of it. But if you think about some of the things they talk about, there's a lot more that's going on underneath the water, so to speak. So I would really recommend that. It's called The Wedding People by Allison Espach.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really good.
That sounds really good. A listener emailed us. They're reading Unmasking Autism by Devin Price, which clearly demystifies autism, especially autistics who hide in it in order to cope.
That sounds really good, too.
Thanks for that recommendation. Irene in Janesville recommends the Elm Creek Quilt series of books by Jennifer Cheverini. And I read the latest one that came out, six, 7 months ago. Jennifer's books, you know, she wrote that series, a number of them, and then she got into fiction novels that highlight remarkable women in history. And I loved all of those books, The Canary Girls, and, well, anyway. The Elm Creek Quilt Series, if you're a quilter, that's a series that you're probably going to want to take a look at. Jennifer Cheverini.
And, Larry, before we get, you know, we're at the end of the show, we wanted to tell people the books that are going to be on our book list, book club.
Especially the one that's coming up.
Yeah, the one that is coming up. So we wanted to do that. That's going to be up on our website again this afternoon, too. I didn't want to put it up until we announced it, Larry. Mm-hmm. But we got some great books lined up for you. And on February 29th, we have The Snowbirds. It's by Christina Clancy, and you might know her from Shoulder Season, which was a pretty big book maybe 2 years ago. But this one is kind of interesting because it's two people who are kind of in a turning point in their relationship. They've been a couple for 30 years, but they've kind of been like separate but together. So they go down to Florida, Palm Springs, and he gets lost in the desert. And this all sort of starts their examining of their life together and their life individually. So it should be a really good one, Larry.
The Snowbirds by Christina Clancy.
That's right. It'll be February 20th. So got a couple months to read that one.
And April 17th, we have The Killer's Terms by Kevin Kleisner, Milwaukee FBI special agent in charge. Cole Habish is devastated when the woman he loves is brutally attacked. Was someone trying to silence journalist Michael Fields, or was it a way to get Cole, the true target, get to him?
And that's journalist Michelle Fields, so just makes a difference. But
I'm sorry.
But that's, and actually Kevin has written a number in this series, and we've not, for some reason, we haven't talked to him. So this is like the third or something in this series, so we'll talk to him on April 17th.
June 19th, we just got copies the mail, Bridgeton, by Michael Nadler. And this is set in the village of Bridgeton in the 1950s. Mickey, Jimbo, and Lemon come of age. They escape along the Wisconsin River in central Wisconsin, swim around the sandbar at Discovery Beach. They trample through Skunk Hollow. So it's 10-year-old kids.
But they come back later when they're adults. So that's kind of the whole evolution on friendship and things like that. So that should be a really fun one. We've had a number of Growing Up in Wisconsin books. So.
I'm really looking forward to Jesse Garcia's book and reading it. I haven't done it yet. It's titled The Business Trip.
That's right. And that one's kind of a, I don't know what you want to call it. It's, it's got a twist in it. And it's two women who vanish. So again, we're kind of running out of time here, but you'll be able to find more information at our website. And then in October, Larry, we've got Greg Rentz back again with a new book called Beyond the Flames. He's a former firefighter in Milwaukee. This is his second book, so that should be fun. And then a year from tomorrow, actually. We've got Mary Beenan in with A Measured Thread, and this one sounds really, really
fun. Very powerful story.
Yeah, for sure.
So those are the books that are coming up for the 2025 Book Club, but I'm going to remind you, The Snowbirds is the first one. Christina Clancy is the author. Pick up a copy and join us on February 20th. Well, join us before that.
Yes, please
do. But thanks
do.
A lot for listening as well. It's been great fun for Jill and for myself and, of course, for our whole team. Lee Rayburn, Jeff Robbins, our technical directors, Joel Patnod, Clara Neipert, our producers. I'm Larry Mueller with executive producer Jill Nadeau. Thank you so much for listening, and take a look at our website and you'll find that list of books.